Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Leaf Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the cycle of life, the different stages that we go through since we're an embryo and until old age to really scan through life and understand. Why is life built the way it's built? We'd like to get some new insights. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, the processes of life seem very natural. Usually we don't even stop to ask why are things one way or another. We just live our life. Yeah. We're born, we grow up, we develop. And all of us more or less go through the same phases, stages. From childhood to adulthood, usually we fall in love and get married or don't get married, have children or not. There's a certain course of things. We get a job, we grow old, and eventually we die. We flow with life. Yeah, exactly. And today we'd like to stop the flow of life for a moment and ask why, ask the big questions about why is each phase in our development the way it is? What does it represent for us? How does it develop us as human beings? Where does it lead us? This is actually what we'd like to talk about. We understand that there is some kind of life cycle here. We see that a generation comes and a generation goes, and it's been going on for a long time. And today we'd like to zoom in on the life of a single person from the moment he's born to the moment he dies. Why? In order to maybe understand life a bit better. What for? With much wisdom comes much sorrow. If we know more, we'll suffer more. Yeah, because if we're asking about life, we're already above life, meaning that we want to understand them, research them. And in this, man is higher than a beast, higher than an animal. And if so, there are no answers for it, because these answers are above us, on the spiritual level, which has nothing to do with the bodily, corporeal life in which we're like animals, but it's a part of our soul, our inner part that lives and develops, and what happens with it exactly, we don't know. We include two living levels, the bodily life, in which we're like any other animal, and the spiritual life, where we don't exactly know what that is usually. There are only unique people who attain this life, the cycle of life. And sometimes they explain these things to us to some extent. These are the Kabbalists that attain the life of the soul. And they tell us about it. But usually, people don't deal with it. They take no interest in it because it's not that clear or accessible. It doesn't give them clear answers emotionally, intellectually, because our entire intellect and our emotions are made in order to only serve our body. And when we ask questions that are beyond our bodily life, our bodily existence, then we don't have answers. Not having answers meaning that even if we get the answers, we have no way to understand them. Yeah, we can't understand them. We can't relate them to anything. Suppose the Kabbalists, they'll tell us a few words. And they write books, thick books. A book could contain thousands of pages. And what will I have as a result of reading? I don't know what it's all about. It's like telling me about some other world, other kind of existence. And therefore, in my current mind and emotions, I won't be able to grasp the content of these books. And therefore, it's called the hidden wisdom, that even though that it's written, In many places, we have a lot of literature, even including the Torah, the Talmud, including things that religious people read and study and are engaged in. But even when they explain these things, interpret them, they do it in an earthly way, not in their true manner. The hidden wisdom, is it actually the wisdom of life? It's the wisdom of the spiritual life. But the thing is that this spiritual life that we have to attain, Kabbalists explain that we live in order to attain the spiritual life, meaning our body exists and develops and goes through different processes in order to eventually reach our spiritual development, and only for us to be impregnated in the spiritual life and give birth to them ourselves, develop them ourselves, and live them. You said something really interesting. You felt it on the inside, I think, this process. Yeah, I really felt it, how it happens on the inside. Because I felt that there is a certain parallel between the development of the corporeal body and the process that you just described as a spiritual one. Because we have the matter of the root and branch, and what happens in the spiritual root also comes down and happens in the corporeal branch. We know about this corporeal branch pretty well because we've been developing in this world for thousands of years. And we've learned from life how we give birth, how we develop, how we build ourselves, life, and so on, and how we end life. It's all very clear and arranged. But furthermore, we have to understand that everything that we experience here in our life, right here, right now, it's a copy, a very special kind of copy from the spiritual world, the spiritual life. That in the spiritual life, we have the exact same stages, discernments, events, let's call them, as we have in this world, only spiritually. And we were given this corporeal bodily form, so that from it, we will try to rise to a higher spiritual life. The difference is that there, we're not in our body or in our corporeal forces of nature, but in spiritual forces, which is a bit different. We have to learn about it. And there's a wisdom called the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's about how to rise from this life that we're experiencing here to a higher spiritual life. And if I understand something about the phases my body goes through as a human being on the corporeal level, will I be able to learn something about the higher spiritual process from it? No. Even though that there is a parallel, we can't learn from it. That's interesting because you're saying that seemingly these are similar stages, but we can't deduce one from the other. We can't learn about the upper from the lower, but from attaining the upper, we can better understand the lower. So I have a question. After we talked about this in general, I want to go into details. If I look at the stops a person goes through in his cycle of life, first he's an embryo, then he's born as a baby, then after many years and many processes, he will be a mature human being, and he can do whatever he wants with his life. Maybe he'll even take his life and want to spiritually develop. But before that he's born and he develops and all that, what do you need all of that for? What do you need these stages for? It's built precisely according to the spiritual process. There's a body called Ima, mother, and another body called Abba, Father. And these are all spiritual qualities. In the Ima, there is a special space, special place. And the wisdom of Kabbalah talks about it in a very precise way. Only entering the conception, there are about 200 or 300 pages written about it in the book, The Study of the Ten Sefirot, the first conception of Zeranpin, the second conception of Zeranpin, the birth of Zeranpin. It's all explained in detail how, in the part of the will to receive, the Ima, the mother, it's a will to receive, how in her, suddenly, there is made a space and a seed can enter it. It's a special upper light. And there to start forming the image of the Creator and this sack where it enters. It's like a kind of space, place that's unrelated to the body of the mother. Only the mother provides everything that he needs for his development. But actually, this entire space is isolated from the body of the mother. And then, from there, an embryo is born, meaning there is a very special combination of forces, where on the one hand, it's the force of bestowal of the mother that gives everything that the embryo needs. Also the force of bestowal of the father that also gives the embryo everything that he needs. And from them, a special spiritual creature is born that includes both of them. And this is the creation of life that comes as a result of the combination of these two forces of reception and bestowal. Why doesn't the embryo come from three parents, but only from two, male and female? Because there are only two forces in reality, the force of reception and the force of bestowal. The what? The force of reception and the force of bestowal, which are what? These are two forces that exist in reality. Can you tell me a bit about them? That only the special merging between them enables the essence of life. What are these two forces? The force of reception is the will to receive pleasure from receiving, and the force of bestowal is the desire to receive pleasure from bestowing. Bestowing meaning what? To fulfill oneself and to feel enlivenment from that, or to fulfill the other and to feel enlivenment from that. And these inclinations to fulfill myself or to fulfill the other, these are what? Two forces that only in their combination is it possible to give birth to life? What is the force of bestowal for if I have no one to bestow to? Yeah, but why do these two forces generate new life? Because the combination between them allows them to be in the correct inclusion. What kind of merging or inclusion? One in which each bestows to the other only that the force of reception enables the other to give, and the force of bestowal allows the other to receive the force of bestowal. The word to enable the other, what does it mean? Integration, inclusion, toward a mutual goal. So I'm repeating the same question. Then why not three or four or five forces or 10 in order to generate life? In reality, there are only two forces and you don't need more. The force of reception and the force of bestowal are completely sufficient in order to create the combination of forces, life, energies, comprehensions, everything there is, you only need two. Yeah, but it's what? These are maybe this what you're asking. But they form between them the third essence called the embryo, or the baby, or the child. This third essence, what is it? That's included of both, of the connection between them. What kind of connection is it? Where each completes the other. So what's born? Something that doesn't belong to the first or to the second, and that also belongs to both of them. So what is it? It's called an embryo or a child that wants to enjoy from receiving for itself or from bestowing to others. What they give birth to belongs neither to the one nor to the other, but to the third force, which is the upper force, the Creator. And this is who? But you wanted three. Okay, I'm willing to accept the third, but I understand that there are two, that there's one force that's absorbing and enjoys absorbing, receiving. There's a force that enjoys fulfilling the other, and that third force that you call the Creator. It's impossible that the two will be enough for each other, because there has to be something between them. What? It's called Shechina. What is that? It's a place where they come together and act together in mutual participation. Act how? What do? Each for the benefit of the other, and both of them for the benefit of the upper force. The upper force being who? The embryo that they give birth to. And he's a part of the Creator. Meaning what? He comprises a certain example of the upper force, the fourth force. This force being what? It's the upper force of nature, the one unique and unified. And how do we define it? As the Creator. You know, there are people that kill other people over these words. So how do you define this? Fourth force. It is the source of all the rest, of the mother, the father, and the child. He's their source. He's their vitality. He exists above time and place. And he actually forms everything. And what is its character, or what is this force? Net bestowal. Bestowal meaning what? It means fulfilling the other according to their desire. He's as if the good in this story. Yeah. So what's the difference between him and bestowal? We said that there are two forces. That which exists, the mutual bestowal that exists in the mother and the father, it's what they receive from him. But this force of bestowal exists in the father in a certain way. The force of bestowal exists in the mother in a certain way. And when they connect between them in a certain way, then they give birth to something which is similar to the Creator. This entire process you just explained, it happens in what you defined as the spiritual life, the spiritual development on the spiritual level, yes, and also as the branch from the spiritual root, also in our world. What do you mean by branch? Branch meaning the external corporeal result. What is it? What can you tell me about it? I understand that it's like copy-paste. What is that? That just like in the spiritual world, we have the upper force called the Creator, and the mother and the father and the spiritual baby between them, the very same way in the corporeal world, we have a mother and a father and a baby between them. Only that the Creator is hidden, and instead of him, we say nature. Okay, up till now we talked about the formation of the embryo. I understand that there are entire processes and spirituality as a result of which there are processes that take place in the corporeal world, and the embryo is created from the mother, the father, doesn't matter what forces. We have a baby. What do we have this phase in life for where we're babies? Because we have to develop in what the father and the mother provide us with. A. B. We have to grow, and by growing, to also provide the mother and the father with something that they need for their growth. Why does a baby suckle from his mother and not from his father, for example? These are so complex systems that in the wisdom of Kabbalah, only the matter of being born from the womb, from the vagina, and rising to the level of the nipple, the chest. These are tremendous spiritual processes, and there you have the answers. Meaning to understand what's actually going on in our world, I feel pretty weak in my ability of explaining these things, so it'll be simple to simply start talking about it in Kabbalistic terms. No one will understand, and in terms of this world, everyone knows what that is. We understand what happens between us, between people. But what is the reason for all of this processes? It's very interesting, but it's really the wisdom of Kabbalah at its highest level. It's the study of the Ten Sefirot. When we go through our early years, when a child suckles, and then he's a little child, what do we have that for? Why not already be born as grown-ups? What do we need all of these years of being a baby and a child for? In the spiritual world, we come from a shattered vessel, broken vessel, that has no cell of life, that's intended to live, that is worthy of existing. And therefore, all of life begins in a way where it is divided into the seed of a male, suppose, and the seed of a woman. The father gives whiteness, the mother gives redness, and the creator gives the soul. That the moment these two forces connect, which are the male and the female, from above comes the third force that starts reviving them, and this becomes the new body that never existed before. After a baby is born, he'll be a baby for many years and then a little child. What's the need for it? These are stages of correction. That force, which was completely destroyed, broken, it's going to connect into a corrected body that can live on its own, feel, understand, even give birth. What do we have to learn during these years? According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, throughout all these years, we have to learn just one thing. What is it? Just like we're born from the connection of corporeal cells on the animate level, we have to scrutinize between us what are our spiritual cells and try and connect them into a spiritual body. Can you explain this some more? It's like that in the correct participation between the giving force and the receiving force and the male and the female, life is created, which is truly a wonder. We, through our connection in the force of bestowal and the force of reception that exists in everyone, have to connect in a way that from above we will receive a special spirit, that the connection between us will come alive so that a new vital force will be created in it called the spiritual life. And then we will feel that between us, in our correct connection, there is the upper force, the spiritual force, called the soul. When we're babies, we already begin this process of building the spiritual cells? No. But even as babies, we can say that, yes, we are in this spiritual process, but unconsciously. And later we'll have to go through it consciously? Yes. What's the difference between building the spiritual cells unknowingly, unconsciously, and knowingly, consciously? These are different levels of existence, and we'll need both. And when is it supposed to happen? On this axis of being an embryo, then being born, a child, grown up, old, I die. Where on this scale is this conscious development of building the spiritual cells supposed to begin in the acquaintance with the wisdom of Kabbalah? Yeah, but when will it happen? According to a person's inner development, suddenly at the age of 20 or 40 or 60, he feels that this is what I need. This meaning what? To know the meaning of life. Where did I come from? Where was I born from? Who do I belong to? How can I arrange myself? How can I be born into the spiritual world, into the upper world? A person gives birth to himself? Of course. He awakens his birth. He's the cause of it. And when is this supposed to happen? After a person dies? After a person dies, nothing happens. It has to be here, in this world. When? When he'll be ready for it. He doesn't have a mother and a father. He does. Who are they? Then he'll get to know his spiritual mother and father. This is really interesting, but our time's up and we didn't even start asking what we wanted to. So what's the most important thing to know up till now about the cycle of life? You have to be ready to be a mother and a father in the correct integration to give birth to the spiritual life. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.